Good morning, Christ Church, and good morning to the other campuses. It is an honor to be with you all today. My name is Corey Ratliff. I'm from the Sign of the Dove Church, and I greet you, and I'm very excited to be here with you. This Exodus series is very powerful, and I know Pastor Mike has been real excited about this series. He's got a lot of notes on him. He even emailed me like 3 days, 3 weeks ago, was just like, do you have everything you need? I can send you some more if you need. And I'm like, nah, Pastor Mike, I got it. Believe me, I got it. But it truly has been a blessing to be able to dig into all of this. And you guys are really on an exciting journey. And so it gives me great pleasure to continue this journey as we walk through some of the plagues here today. Certainly, this is not enough time to be able to do an extensive dive. But I've prayed to the Lord and I've asked him to give us a rhema word for what we need for this day. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we bow our heads before you, Lord God, and turn to you, Father, as we have this appointed time to dig into your word. Now, Lord God, we ask, Father, that you would speak forth. Father, I surrender myself to you, Lord God, that you would have your way. Father, open up the word so that we can partake and glean and learn what we need to know from you. We give you all our hearts and our affections and our attention right now in this moment. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let every heart say, amen. So as we dig into this word today, I do have a question for you because this is a very powerful lesson. But the first thing that I want to ask of you is, do you know the Lord? Do you know him? How do you know him? And I want us to just take a moment right now, if you have your phones, if you're taking notes or something, and I want you to write down five things that you know of the Lord, as I see five people do it. So, no, but I want you to just take some time right now, even those of you at the other campuses. I literally want you to just take either your phone, write it down. But what are five things that you can say, I know the Lord to be, I know the Lord as, I have seen him work in this way? Because a challenge comes for us today that we often forget who the Lord is. And so I just want to challenge you, just real brief right now, write down five things that you know of the Lord. I've come to know him as my Savior. I've come to know him as the one who heals me. I've come to know him as the one who has delivered me. I've come to know him to be my friend. I've come to know him to be my protector. It becomes real important for us to do this because the world is getting crazier and crazier, and there's so many things, even in our own personal lives, that are turning things upside down, and we have to come back to this place of, do I know him? Hallelujah. When we get into this series of Exodus and we get into the whole idea of the plagues and what God has done with the plagues, God is on display and he's answering a question that Pharaoh had posed. Moses came to Pharaoh and said, God calls that you let his people go. And Pharaoh asked this question in Exodus 5 and says, who is the Lord that I should obey him? It's a very arrogant, very prideful position. As we know of Pharaoh, he had set himself up as a god. He was the incarnate of the god that they worship, Ra, the sun god. And so Pharaoh, he's just like, oh, this Yahweh, he's one of the other 1,400 gods that we worship. So he had no regard for this god called Yahweh. For Moses to come to him and tell him that God says, let his people go, he's just like, what are you talking about? I don't know who this God is. And our challenge today is, do we really know who he is? Through all the different things that go on in our own life. Well, I want to build some context before we come back to Exodus 10, because these plagues, they're in a series of three. And last week, Pastor Mike got into that first series of three when he talked about the water turning to blood, he talked about the frogs, and he talked about the flies. So I'm going to pick up a little bit in that, and we're going to talk about each one of those series and what happened to lead us into this place. Pharaoh was very arrogant, and God had already told Moses, his heart is going to be hardened. He is going to harden his heart because he has no regard for me. He has no regard for who I am. And because he has enslaved my people, I am bringing these judgments upon him. And so we start with this first plague where the waters turned to blood. The Nile was their source. They were so dependent upon the Nile. The Nile was also a deity for them. Everything they did was about this type of worship at the Nile. They worshiped the goddess of the Nile. Everything for them, life was in the Nile. Their prosperity was coming from the Nile. And God was like, and that's where I'm going to start. You have made your dependency on this space when I am the sovereign Lord God who reigns forever. This is also a challenge in our lives. When we're going through things, many times we'll place our affections on other things. Sometimes we'll place our affections on our comforts, such as Netflix, or we'll place our comfort on our vacations, or we'll place our comfort in other things. And God is saying, no, I am the Lord your God. If you know me, then you would come to me. But too many times we've settled for these other things. And God is saying, I'm about to come for the Nile. And he comes from the Nile and he turns it to blood. Pharaoh has no regard for that one. He's like, oh, my magicians can do that. And so he goes to another plague, and we go to the plague of frogs. And it's very interesting that you would use frogs. Frogs of all creatures. But this is something that God was just like, I'm going to show you that I am the Lord over all of creation. You refuse to let the people go, I'm going to come at you with frogs. It's kind of funny because it's just like frogs of all things. But the frogs covered everything. And I don't really think that it was the issue of everything being covered by frogs as much as it was once this plague was over, it was dead frogs all over the place. And the place stunk. But yet and still, Pharaoh was not moved. He still hardened his heart. In fact, his magicians were able to do the same thing. Now, the interesting thing about the water turned to blood and the frogs is that the magicians could not make it go away. They only added to the problem. That's kind of ridiculous. The magicians can do the same thing. Yeah, we can make frogs come. We'll make frogs come and we'll make the water turn to blood. But you didn't solve the problem. You don't know who this God is. Pharaoh was still hardened in his heart. And as we come to chapter 8, verse number 16, we end up having a plague that has no warning whatsoever. He does not go before Pharaoh. He just releases this plague. Here's verse 16. Then the Lord says to Moses, say to Aaron, extend your staff and strike the dust of the earth so that it may turn into gnats through all the land of Egypt. They did so, and Aaron extended his hand with his staff and struck the dust of the earth, and there were gnats on every person and animal. All the dust of the earth turned into gnats through all the land of Egypt. What an annoying thing to happen. If you know anything about gnats, if you've gotten some fruit from the store and you put it on the counter, and next thing you know, you have gnats. And it's just like, why are you here? And they just show up, especially when you're on your phone, because they're drawn to the light. They show up and they fly by you. I think something's wrong with my glasses. No, it's actual gnat that went past, and you're like, you're trying to grasp at it, and they're so freaking fast. This was annoying because there were many of them. There were thousands, there were billions of gnats everywhere. And some commentators said that this is a disruption into our lives of comfort. That many times we have placed such confidence in our lives of comfort, our way of doing things. Think about how the pandemic came. The pandemic came and disrupted our comfort. God is letting them know comfort comes from him. He is the source of all of our comfort, so that we cannot lift up any other idol before him. He is the source of our comfort. These gnats were everywhere. And even his priest, if you look in verse 19, then the soothsayer priest said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God, because they couldn't reproduce this. They had come to a place where it's just like, this is something that's different. This is different than all the other gods that we serve. We're not able to reproduce this. The gnats became a problem. But yet and still, Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he did not listen to them, just as the Lord had said. We get into this next series, this series of plagues, and it's a different story here, okay? Same plagues, but a different situation. And God adds a new element into this, for he releases the plague of flies. I want you to know, flies are the most irritating thing to me in this world. I cannot stand flies. I will stop time in my house to take care of a fly, okay? I cannot stand when the kids leave the door open and I'm just like, close the door or a fly will come in. And if a fly comes in, it's on. I'm telling you, I have fly swatters because I am ready to pounce on a fly. They're the most irritating thing in my life. I hate the buzzing, I hate it all. Okay, and so you can imagine that there is this release of swarms of flies that are released upon the people. It is the judgment of God against Pharaoh because Pharaoh will not change his mind. And God is completely aware, Moses is completely aware that Pharaoh is not going to change his mind. And he releases this swarm of flies. But here is the difference. Verse 23. Actually, I'll start with verse 22. But on that day, I will set apart the land of Goshen where my people are living so that no swarms of flies will be there in order that you may know that I, the Lord, am in the midst of the land. I will put a division between my people and your people. Tomorrow, this sign will occur. What an amazing thing that God adds into this series of plagues that he now makes a distinction that there is going to be a difference between the people of Egypt and my people in the city of Goshen. In Goshen, there's not going to be any swarm of flies, but all around the land of Egypt, there will be flies. And you are going to know that I am in your midst. Hallelujah. What a powerful thing for the people of God. What a powerful thing for even Pharaoh to see that God is a God of distinction. Even for us today, those of you that know the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, I set you apart. You are mine. You belong to me. You are covered by the blood of Jesus. All because you've said, yes, Lord, I receive you as my Savior. You are marked and you are distinct. You are a holy people. Hallelujah. He sets you apart as his. These flies were such a nuisance. Pharaoh could not stand it. And if you look in verse 24, the Lord did so, and thick swarms of flies entered the house of Pharaoh and the houses of his servants, and the land was laid waste because of the swarms of flies in all the land of Egypt. Let me tell you how annoying. Let me give you one more story. Let me tell you how annoying flies are. I was on mission, okay, in Jinja, and I had to stay in a tent. Okay, and there was another pastor that was with me who was from Uganda. And as I'm in this tent, he walks into the tent and he says, are you okay? I said, no, I'm not. There's a fly in here. And I'm not going to be able to sleep until that fly is dead. And so I spent my time chasing after that fly. And I'll have you know that I killed it. But I'm telling you, it's such a nuisance. And for even Pharaoh, this is on all of his servants. This is on everybody. It was a nuisance. And Pharaoh, in verse 25, he says, then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, go sacrifice to your God within the land. So Pharaoh was constantly trying to make bargains, constantly trying to undercut what Moses' request was. He was just like, okay, well, you can worship in the land. You can't go out, but you can worship in the land. And Moses is just like, that's not what we're asking for. We want to go. But Moses, in verse 26, but Moses says, it is not permissible for us to do so in this land because we will sacrifice to the Lord our God that which is an abomination to the Egyptians. If we sacrifice that which is an abomination to the Egyptians before their eyes, will they not stone us? We must go a 3 days journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God just as he commanded us. Pharaoh still has no regard for God. Pharaoh still wants anything that you want to do, it's got to be on my terms. Sometimes that's a challenge with us. We want to worship on our terms. God, we want things on our terms. God, I'll do what you say, but can we do it my way? And God is so interesting, he'll let you go on your way. Go ahead. If you want to do it your way, go ahead. And many times when we do it our way, we find that it really becomes a mess. Hallelujah. In this next plague, God then sends a plague on the livestock. The livestock, the very wealth of who they are and everything, and their economy. And God says, I'm about to come for the livestock. And I would make a distinction yet again. All the livestock in the land of Egypt, I'm going to come for. They're going to be slaughtered. But except in the city of Goshen, my peoples will not be slaughtered. Behold, and this is chapter 9, verse 3, it says, behold, the hand of the Lord will come with a severe plague on your livestock, which are in the field, on the horses, on the donkeys, on the camels, on the herds, and on the flocks. Verse 4, but the Lord will make a distinction between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt, so that nothing will die of all that belongs to the sons of Israel. It's so powerful that God would still make this distinction, and he would let Pharaoh know, look, you may have confidence in all of your herds and all of your economy. You may have all types of confidence, but I want to let you know that I am the Lord God. I'm about to destroy everything that you've got because you have this confidence and cockiness, and you have been coming against my people, but I'm about to show you who you're messing with. I don't know. I got real amped up with this when I was studying. I was just like, I was ready to fight somebody. So then we get into this next plague because Pharaoh still has not changed his heart. He is still not releasing the children of Israel, even though their economy has just went down with the loss of all their plagues. And so here we are at this next plague. This is the plague of the boils. Yet again, there is no warning with this. Then the Lord, this is verse number 8, chapter 9. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take for yourselves handfuls of soot from the kiln, and Moses shall toss it toward the sky in the sight of Pharaoh. Now, this is very interesting because this same soot is the same soot that would be used to make the bricks. So it's very interesting that Moses would cause the people of Israel to have harder tasks where they had to make their own bricks, get their own materials, Pharaoh had did this to the children of Israel, that they should suffer more and get their own. And now God says, I want you to take that same soot and I want you to toss it in the air. And when he tossed it in the air, it became boils on all of the people. Now, for me, it was a fascinating scene because I'm just like, Moses, you a bad man. Take that stuff and now what? But it became boils over all the people, and it began to afflict their body. All the others were just nuisances, but here is a place where these plagues actually started to afflict their body. It's a very painful situation. Then we get an interlude here at verse number 13 as God establishes purpose again. Hear the word of the Lord. This is verse number 13. Then the Lord said to Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say to him, this is what the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, says. Let my people go so that they may serve me. For this time, I am going to send all my plagues on you and your servants and your people so that you may know that there is no one like me in all the earth. Verse 15, for had I now put out my hand and struck you and your people with plague, you would then have been eliminated from the earth. But indeed, for this reason, I have allowed you to remain in order to show you my power, and in order to proclaim my name throughout the earth. Still, you exalt yourself against my people by not letting them go. Pharaoh is in a position of being used of the Lord, and it's for this appointed time because this is going to reverberate throughout the earth. You're going to know who I am. You're going to know that I am the Lord God. Hallelujah. There's some of you here today that God has got you in some situations where it's a setup so that people can know who your God is. You might think that it's adversity that's coming your way and you're going through some very difficult things, but no, the Lord's got things in order. I want you to hold on to the Lord your God. I want you to hold on to what you know about him, because God is at work in your midst. He is doing something that you have no idea of, because others are gonna come to know the Lord God through what you're going through. Hallelujah. You say, but Pastor, it's not fun. Hallelujah. The Lord God is with you throughout the circumstance. He knows what you're handling. He knows how much you can handle, but you've got to trust in who you know. Hallelujah. Because what you're going through, others are going to come to know who the Lord is. Somebody should clap right there. I don't know. I would clap because it's exciting. I would have been like, go, Pastor Mike. Dude, you preaching, man. Hallelujah. He still exalts himself against the people of God, and he still exalts himself against God. We get to this third set of plagues, and this third set of plagues is unlike anything else in the world, because God begins to deconstruct Egypt. Now, if you thought the destroying of the economy was bad, this next set of plagues was going to decimate Egypt. He begins this plague of the hail, this plague of hail. And we here, we really have an experience. Maybe in some parts of the countries, people have talked about softball hail, but we're talking about a swarm of hail that came down with the intent purpose to destroy. Everything was going to be destroyed. As the hail would come down, everything would be destroyed. But it's so awesome, because God wants the Egyptians to learn that he is a God who is sovereign and who is over the weather. He is sovereign, who is over the creation. But he also lets them know he's a God of mercy. I want you to check this out real quick. Okay, here we go. Verse number 19, chapter 9. Check this out. So now, this is God speaking through Moses, send word, bring your livestock and whatever you have in the field to safety. Every person and animal that is found in the field and is not brought home, when the hail comes down on them, will die. Everyone among the servants of Pharaoh who feared the word of the Lord hurried to bring his servants and his livestock into the houses. Verse 21, but everyone who did not pay regard to the word of the Lord left his servants and his livestock in the field. Interesting that this very decree, the Lord gives a warning to people, and he lets them know, if you hear the word of the Lord, bring your servants in, bring your livestock in, and they won't be killed. Very interesting that God shows himself to the Egyptians that he is a merciful God by telling him in advance, go ahead and bring your people in, because when this hail comes, it's going to kill everything. What a merciful God we serve. But yet, there's still people that did not hear the word, and they left their servants out there, they left their herds out there, and it was destroyed. Do you know him? Do you know the Lord, your God? This hail came and destroyed everything. Hallelujah. And it says in verse 26, let me get to verse 25. The hail struck everything that was in the field through all the land of Egypt, from people to animals. The hail also struck every plant of the field and shattered every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the sons of Israel were, was there no hail. Check out what happens with Pharaoh. You would think that he is ready, but the thing is, God had already told him that he was going to harden his heart. Verse 27, then Pharaoh sent for Moses and Aaron and said to them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is the righteous one, and I and my people are the wicked ones. Plead with the Lord, for there has been enough of God's thunder and hail, and I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer. Moses said to him, as soon as I go out of the city, I will spread out my hands to the Lord. The thunder will cease, and there will no longer be hail, so that you may know that the earth is the Lord's. Now check this out, because Moses sees right through his crap. Yes, I said crap. 29. Moses says, as soon as I go out of the city, I will spread out my hands to the Lord. The thunder will cease and there will no longer be hail, so that you may know that the earth is the Lord's. But as for you and your servants, I know that you do not yet fear the Lord God. This is a powerful statement, because there has to be a fear and reverence. Sometimes we'll repent of things, but we really have no intentions of serving the Lord. We'll say, oh, I'm sorry, but we're saying, oh, I'm sorry because I got caught. Not because I'm repentant and ready to fear the Lord. Yet here again, Pharaoh shows that he has no regard for who the Lord is. We finally come to this place of plague, of the plague of locusts. This is chapter 10. God reestablishes the why. He reestablishes why he's doing this. Check out verses 1 and 2, chapter 10. Then the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, so that I may perform these signs of mine among them, and that you may tell in the presence of your son and your grandson how I made a mockery of the Egyptians and how I performed my signs among them, so that you may know that I am the Lord. He establishes purpose yet again, that this is all about me letting you know that I am the Lord. And in this one, he lets them know, I want you to be able to share this story. I want you to know, Israel, that I am the Lord your God. Many times, even in the church, the reason why we come is so that we can remember who he is. We get battered down throughout the week by so many different things that many times we can come to church and feel so empty, so lost, so broken. And now we come into the house of the Lord and the preacher needs to let us know who the Lord is. Remind me that the Lord is God. Remind me that the Lord is my provider. Remind me that the Lord is my help. Remind me that the Lord is my sufficient one. I need to be reminded. Hallelujah. So he tells them the purpose of this is I need to let Pharaoh know who I am. I am the Lord. This plague of locusts was going to be such a hard thing, because when you have locusts, that means you have famine. When locusts are released, there is going to be famine. When locusts are released, they are going to eat up anything left, because we just went through hail. We just went through everything being destroyed by hail. All the trees have been shattered. So if there's anything green left, it's going to be eaten up by the locusts. The Bible declares that the locusts came in swarms all over the land. They consumed everything. If you check out here in verse number 5, he tells them what will happen, and they will cover the surface of the land so that no one will be able to see the land. They will also eat the rest of what has survived, what is left to you from the hail, and they will eat every tree of yours which grows in the field. Then your houses will be filled with them, together with the houses of all your servants and the houses of all the Egyptians, something which neither your fathers nor your grandfathers have seen from the day that they came upon the earth until this day. And he turned to Pharaoh and left. This swarm came in and covered everything. Says you could not see. I can't even imagine what that would look like for us. Not being able to see driving down 41 all because of the swarms of locusts that are everywhere. It really halted life. Like I said, it's the deconstruction of Egypt. This was such a deconstruction that even his servants had now surrendered to this place. Look what they say in verse number 7. Then Pharaoh's servants said to him, how long shall this man become a snare to us? Let the people go so that they may serve the Lord their God. Do you not yet realize that Egypt is destroyed? So Moses and Aaron were brought back to Pharaoh, and he said to them, go serve the Lord your God. And now, yet again, Pharaoh is still trying to negotiate. I'll let you go, but who's going to go with you? And he tells them, we need everybody. We need the young, we need the old, we need all of our herds and everything. And yet Pharaoh, because his heart is so hardened, he says, well, only the men can go. And yet again, Moses began to tell him, that's not the deal. So here comes the last of the series of plagues, of series of 3, and this is the one of darkness. This one comes without warning. Pharaoh has lied again. Pharaoh has reneged. And here we are to the plague of darkness. Verse 21, then the Lord said to Moses, Moses, reach out with your hand toward the sky so that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even a darkness which may be felt. So Moses reached out his hand toward the sky, and there was thick darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. They did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from this place for 3 days, but all the sons of Israel had light in their dwelling. I can't imagine this place of darkness. This place of darkness is like a pit, being put into a pit where there's nothing you can do. There's nothing, you have no idea where anything is, and it's a very hopeless situation. Even for some people that are going through depression, this is actually what it sounds like. It's a place of emptiness where you feel nothing. It's a place where you feel like, God, you're not even there. I had an interesting experience after reading this yesterday, and I thought it was so interesting. After I had finished my dinner, I had finished reading this part, and all of a sudden, just a chill just came over me. All of a sudden, I don't know, maybe it was my blood sugar, whatever, but it became so real for me about this darkness. I got so cold in my bones, and I put a hoodie on, and then I went and got up under the covers, and it wasn't because I was tired. There was just a coldness, and I began to experience, God, what is this like to not have you? The deconstruction of Egypt brought them to this place where they had nothing. Sometimes we feel that we are in this place because of all the different circumstances we're trying to handle. But God wants you to know that I am still your hope. In Egypt, there was no hope anymore. It had been broken down all the way to nothingness. God is calling us to let us know, hey, do you know me? Am I still your hope? Even though you may be in a dark pit, even though you may feel like just everything is lost, everything is gone, do you know that I am the Lord your God? In closing, I want to take you over to 1 Peter 2, verse 9. Because the Lord still had light that was in Goshen. There was still a hope that was in Goshen. Even though 3 days of darkness where you couldn't even move, there was still light in Goshen. You need to know today that the Lord is your source of light. When you know who your God is, you remember this declaration that's in 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. For once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. In this day and in this time that things are going so crazy, there is a call. Where are the people that know the Lord God? Where are the people that know him as their hope? There are people that are in your spaces, that are in your spheres, that are so hopeless, and they are looking for an answer. There are people that are in pits of despair that you know. It might be family members. It might be coworkers. They are in a pit of despair. And you have the ability to stand as the light in the city of Goshen. You have the ability to let people know that God is the Lord. The question comes back to, do you really know him? Do you know him? Do you know him to be the one true God? There's a song that I wrote that says, do you really know him? Not just facts about the Lord our God that can be read by any man. Do you really know him? A true relationship with God, do you really know him? To know the Lord is to love the Lord. To love the Lord is to obey the Lord. To obey the Lord is to seek the Lord. To seek the Lord is to know the Lord. Christ Church, I challenge you that in the midst of every single circumstance that's going on, will you be a seeker of the Lord to know him, to know his way, to know that he's a God of mercy, to know that he's a God who saves, to know that he's a sovereign God. May you be a people that will walk in the knowledge and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, some of us have come in today, Lord God, still trying to sift through the confusion, still trying to sift through the storms of life. But Father, I'm grateful that they were able to come today to be reminded that you are the Lord God Almighty. Who is the Lord? Who is the King of glory? He is the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. So Father, we lift up our heads to you today. We lift up our hearts to you today. Father, where we have doubted, we ask for your forgiveness. Lord God, we ask that you would remind us of your word. Father, help us to remove all the distractions in our lives that prevent us from seeking you and seeking to know what's going on. You have all the answers. We surrender unto the Lord our God. We thank you, Father. Thank you for the love that you have for us. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.